the lack of water threatening South Africa's national security. We speak to John Endres of the Centre for Risk Analysis. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
John, do you think the lack of reliable water supply is becoming a threat to stability in South Africa?
Well, certainly the government seems to think so. So we saw a report, not naming who was speaking about it, but out of the security cluster of the government, suggesting that ahead of the elections, water might become a security-relevant issue. And the notion here, I think, is that the water supply is something that is, of course, very urgent for people to have. It's essential for life. And it's also relatively easy to disrupt. So in other words, you know, fiddling with the infrastructure, creating a bit of vandalism, creating a bit of chaos is actually quite easy to do. And I think that is why the security cluster is concerned about water as an issue, especially now ahead of the elections.
But what do you make of government's assurances that this is a temporary issue and that it is being effectively addressed? Are you seeing it being effectively addressed?
I have zero confidence in the government. We know that there's a high-level ministerial task team that has been appointed now under the leadership of Paul Mashatile, the deputy president, who assures us that steps are being taken, measures are being implemented, et cetera, et cetera. But we've heard this all before. If you think about electricity, the famous war room, Eskom war room, there have been an infinite number of task teams trying to sort out load shedding and with very little effect. You know, we had 1.5 decades of load shedding. And with water, I think it is a much more slowly moving crisis. It's like a massive avalanche that is coming down the mountain. And I do not think that the government at the moment has a way to stem the avalanche. And it is also not diagnosing the problems correctly. And that is why I think that the current measures will not be successful.
Please recap for us the state of the quality of water and the supply in South Africa at the moment.
So we're facing quite a lot of challenges in the water supply arena at the moment. The Department of Water put out 3 reports last year called the No Water Report, the Blue Water Report, and the Green Water Report. And I must commend the authors on the good job they did in those reports. You know, so as is so often the case in South Africa, we've got a fairly good idea of what's going on. This is true in the area of corruption. If you think of the Zondo Commission, for example, got good insight into who was involved and what they did and where money was misappropriated. We were not so good as actually doing something about it. And I think this is going to be the same story with the water situation as well. To name some of the issues, water interruptions, so supply interruptions are a major concern. That is something that the No Water Report dealt with. And it is a feature of life that many South Africans have been living with for many years already, which is to be without water for a day or a week or a month or several months. And this crisis is now coming to the big cities, to the metros. And that is, of course, where the most of South Africans live. And so they are becoming very agitated about this. If you think about the water interruption in Johannesburg, which we experienced 3 weeks ago or thereabouts, that really got people very upset. And it happened at the same time as the city of Johannesburg was announcing its rates increases and its water price increases. And residents here are really asking themselves what they are paying for, that effectively they're paying first world rates for third world services and that they are not really willing to put up with that. Very unhappy about that. Then the second issue is the blue water area, which is drinking water. Here the problem is that much of the drinking water is not as clean as it should be. So, you know, you might open your tap and water comes out or doesn't. But when it comes out, often it is not of good quality and it can even harm your health. As we saw in Hammanskraal, when I think over 20 people died as a result of cholera, which is a consequence of water that is not properly cleaned. And the third area is the Green Drop Report. So in our area here, Brian Fern Residents Association has launched a media campaign to try to get one specific sewage leak fixed in the local spread. But of course, this is happening all over. You know, all over the place, the wastewater plants aren't working properly. The water that they are releasing into the rivers, into the environment, is not properly purified. It's not treated up to the right standard. And as a result, it creates a risk to the health of South Africans and really creates a water emergency. And if I may just add the observation that water resources in South Africa were nationalized around 1998 with the very noble intention of placing water resources under the custodianship of the state. And the notion is that the state is best placed to take good care of water and ensure that people have clean water. And as we see, this curatorship of the state is a terrible disaster for the supply of water and for the quality of water. So we should be, throughout all areas of life in South Africa, very skeptical of any attempts by the government to expropriate, to nationalize, to place under custodianship resources which it has shown itself to be incapable of managing professionally.
How do you think this crisis can be resolved?
And water again. Well, you need to get the private sector in. I think that is true. But when you look at the reasons given by the Water Department and also by Deputy President Paul Mashatile for the water crisis, the sort of first order reasons are properly identified. So they say the municipalities aren't spending money well. We don't have the right skills. The municipalities are not paying the water boards for money. They owe, I think, 14 billion rand to the water boards. So there's like a whole series of things that are going wrong. But what they fail to do is do the root cause analysis of is to ask, why are the municipalities failing? Why are the water boards not doing their jobs properly? And to answer that question, you have to look at some very fundamental aspects of government policy relating, for example, to procurement policies and also to employment and staffing policies. CADA deployment is one reason why we've got the water problems that we've got at the moment. Preferential procurement on a race basis rather than a value for money basis is another reason why we've got a water crisis at the moment. And finally, employment practices that prioritize a person's race or gender above their competence are a third reason we've got these problems. So to solve them, those areas have to be addressed. But all of those areas are deeply embedded in the identity and vision of the ANC as the ruling party. And that is why it is so hard to move away from these things. But that is what needs to happen to fix the problem.
But now in the meantime, people are migrating from municipal areas where there is a lack of service delivery or poor service delivery to areas where they perceive there to be such service delivery. What is that going to create ultimately? Because so many people are moving down to the Western Cape.
Yes. Well, I think firstly, it's very good that we have a situation where we can see competing approaches to administration playing out and we can observe the effects. So that's an argument against centralization, which is another shibboleth of the ANC. It tends to want to centralize everything. But if the entire country were properly centralized, then governance in the Western Cape would be as bad as it is in the rest of the country. So the fact that we have, you know, some aspects of decentralization is really fantastic. To give you one example here, currently South Africa's non-revenue water losses are at 47%. And non-revenue water is water that gets supplied in the system, but that doesn't get paid for. And that can be because there are leaks in the pipes, for example. It can be because water is being stolen. It can be because water is being given away as part of the free water allowance. But put together, it means that the entities supplying water in South Africa are supplying half of their product without payment. So imagine Checkers doing this, or Woolworths, a supermarket, saying, you know, of all the goods we have on our shelves, we know that half of those we're not going to get paid for. How long would those organizations last? So that the money problem is very, very urgent. And here we see that in the Western Cape, I think the non-revenue water loss rate is only about 29%. So a huge difference. The international standard is to try to be under 30%. So the Western Cape is reaching that. They're getting right on the benchmark. And I'm sure they're trying to improve further. But the rest of the country is not. And we see this non-revenue water creeping up further and further. And more money is being lost as a result of that. And the consequence of that, of course, is that money needed to fix the infrastructure and address the things that are breaking down is not available because revenue is not being collected.
If measures were put in place right away, there's such a backlog. What timeline are we looking at to address this crisis?
It really depends on what you do, what your actions are. And my sense is that based on the actions pursued by the government at the moment, this is not going to be resolved anytime soon. And that is because the underlying causes are not being addressed. If you think of that really big water project in Giyani, for example, that has consumed billions of rands and did not deliver water to the people of the area. Or if you think of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which is meant to increase supply to Gauteng, amongst other places, is 9 years behind schedule. It's just not being pursued with the urgency that is required. I also think that the current urgency that is being displayed by the government is temporary. It is, I think, a reflection of electoral panic ahead of, you know, the 29 May elections. But I suspect that after the elections are passed, that sense of urgency is going to fade very quickly as the political sphere becomes preoccupied with itself rather than with administration or governance. So the timeline here, I think, is not looking good at the moment unless something quite fundamental changes. And that will have to include a change of approach within the ANC.
Or a change of government?
Yes, exactly. So by whatever means, a positive influence can be brought to bear upon the policy environment, and that is what is required. If it is the ANC in charge, it needs a change of heart and a recognition of the importance of value for money procurement, the importance of property rights, a moving away from expropriation without compensation, a bringing in of the private sector on honest and equitable terms, rather than using it as a method of propping up the support levels and the elections. That is what is required.
Thank you. That was John Endres of the Center for Risk Analysis speaking to BizNews about how the lack of water is threatening South Africa's national security. I'm Christine.